this evening as we study facts and truths about the name. We ask that you open our understanding and our minds as we humbly receive the truth that is found only in Christ Jesus. Let all our eyes behold Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's have a seat. All right, Luke 24, verse 25 to 27. We're there yesterday. Luke 24, verse 25 to 27. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And yesterday we looked at the danger of reading in verses. We said that the Bible texts were never written with numbers. They were never numbered. The numbering was for easy reading, which emerged way almost 1,000 years plus after those writings were made. And I said the danger in there is, if you're not careful, you begin to cherry pick words of a whole document. So if we're not careful, those verses can be misleading. And so we said yesterday and last week and the week before that we should start reading scriptures. We should not read in verses. We should read in paragraphs. That is, we said only the book of Psalms was numbered. And why was it numbered? Because you had 150 psalms. I had the word psalo in the Greek. 150 psalms that had different authors, majorly David. And so because they were different documents, you can't put all those ones together with different authors and written at different times. It's just like saying you want to put Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians in one document. That would be very confusing. You have to separate them. So the same way you separate Colossians from Ephesians is the way the first psalm, second psalm, and third psalms were separated. However, that's the only book that was numbered. Not even the book of Numbers was numbered. So it therefore makes for careful reading not to read in those ten phrases. That's what we can call verses. Phrases. Never should have a life of their own. All phrases, grammar knows that phrases require qualifying words or qualifying sentences. If I say, oh, I did not know, or I can't know, the question is, I can't know what? Alright? I'm not going to where? There must have been a discussion before and then a discussion after. So we said, you must read in paragraphs. What did I say? Read in paragraphs. So here is Jesus here. He expounded unto them the word diamaneo, two words. Dia means a cross or divide. And then the word hermeneo, H-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-O, which means to interpret. Where you have that in 1 Corinthians 12:30. Do all interpret. Or 1 Corinthians 14:5, except he interpret. Which means to give meaning, okay? So Jesus did not give meaning in an isolated fashion. That is, Jesus produced a meaning. No. By using diamaneo, it means Jesus applied scripture with scripture to explain scriptures. And then we applied that a bit yesterday by looking at Hebrews 1:1. God was sundry times in diverse manners, in times was spoken to our fathers by the prophet. And we said that word has to do with in time past, the prophets spoke in diverse manners to our fathers, you know, about God. And we said the diverse manners and diverse times put all of them together as one dispensation. Sorry, diverse times puts everything together. When you put everything together, it becomes one dispensation. Different times, different years, different months. But when you put it together, you now call it in the old times. You now call it the Old Testament. Same way, the diverse statements, we put them together and they now form what we have as the Logos or the revelation of Christ. So what they all said in bits and pieces, when you put it together, it becomes a whole. What does that mean? That means when I put this with this, if I put what Malachi said, and see what Job said also, and then I see what the psalmist said, and so the answer of Job could be in the psalmist. The answer of the psalmist could be in Malachi. When I put it together, I have a whole song. We also saw the word musterion from the word muhio, M-U-E-O. Musterion is M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N, which means what should be disclosed or what should be taught. It's not firstly what is hidden as we think. No, it's what should be said. And to the person who doesn't know it, it's hid from him. Not that the information itself is hiding itself. It's just that the person that doesn't know it requires that he be taught. And so when you have hid doesn't mean God blinded people's minds. It simply means that because they were men without the Spirit, it was hid from them. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. 1 Corinthians 2:14. It's not, God didn't make him a natural man, that is a carnal man. So God can't be the one who has hidden his word from them. Rather, the state of the man hides the word from him. All right, that's it. So we said again, if you look at that text, it says, he expounded to them in all the scriptures. It would be careless to say that Jesus now quoted every verse of the Old Testament. You can't even do that in 40 days and teach, you know, but this was exhausted. But what we now said that we must always use the word all. Yes, it's good to say all this, but then it has to be all this what? And obviously, we track back the discussion. The discussion was from verse 19, or even earlier than that, when the two folks were discussing the resurrection of Jesus, which was a consequent event of his death. And they felt, has he been raised? Has he not been raised? And that was the question. So he now asked them, what things? And they said, you new here. And they began to tell him how Jesus was taken of the priest. He was killed. He was a prophet and mighty indeed. And some women went to the sepulchre. They didn't find his body. That they see a vision or not, they don't know. And then he said, oh fools, verse 25, and slow of heart to believe all. Now the all will have to be all they were discussing. All this that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So that means that by 26, we know we can put their discussion by verse 26, we can streamline their discussion to what and what? Huh? How Christ was killed, how he was buried, and whether he will be raised from the dead. Come on. Come on. So if we get to 27, and it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That means Jesus went to the scriptures that had to do with what they were talking about. Not every scripture. He went to the scriptures that had to do with what we are talking about. So then we said, so when you see the word all, it must be specified. Specified. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's actually two things. Abase, abound, be full, be hungry. Just two things. So we say, I can do these two things. There is no, allow me to say this, there is no exceteria in the Bible. And so on and so forth. No. You have to be specific. When you say, all things are yours, in 1 Corinthians 3 from 21 to 22, he said, and Cephas, whether it's Apollos, whether it's Paul, okay, whether it's life, death, the present world, or the world to come, all these things are yours. You will count all that all. You will count them. They are either two, or three, or four, or five, or six. Sometimes the word all is not the word pass. For example, all the promises of God in 2 Corinthians 1:21, I name yea and amen. The word all there means great. So it's different. And we said that's just one singular promise. So, when you see the word all, count the all. Ephesians 1:3, with every spiritual blessing, Verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11. That means we were talking about 11 blessings. if we are going to number it like that. So it must be specific. Just like we said, there are scriptures. Look at verse 44. Jesus said, all these things must be fulfilled. Now, when you use the word fulfilled, it's the word plerothenia. P-L-E-R-O-O-T-H-E-N-A-I. It means an obligation to be done. So, Jesus fulfilled the obligation. But Jesus did not fulfill every prophecy of the Old Testament. For example, Matthew 13:14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Look at that. In them is fulfilled. So they actually fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah in the sense that they discharged the obligation. You don't have to. Fulfillment of prophecy has to take a man's obedience or disobedience in that case. And here they fulfilled it. The same thing in John 12:40. And Matthew 28:6 and Romans 11:18. John 12:40, Matthew 13:14-15, Acts 28:6, and Romans 11:18. And you see that they were all quoting the same text in Isaiah. So every time they saw people not believe, that was the text. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm giving parables to these people because they don't respond to faith. So parables are not words of faith. So I'm giving them because these guys, in seeing they can see, in hearing they can hear, and their hearts they've made, you know, to not perceive. So parables are not words of faith. They are words from the senses, you know. But these folks fulfilled it. In them is fulfilled. It's just like Judas' prophecy. He just fulfilled it. It wasn't destined. There's nobody destined and made to not believe the gospel. So there's nobody destined to betray Jesus. Just like Jesus was not destined to die for our sins. He obeyed. He obeyed. The Bible calls it his obedience. Romans chapter 5 verse 19. His obedience. He was obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Philippians 2 verse 8 and 9. So he obeyed. So it's not like he was programmed to die. Nope. He obeyed. Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame, endured the cross. It's not like it was made like that. No, his will was involved. So Jesus fulfilled that by obedience. Okay? And so go back to Luke 24. And verse 27, ought not Christ, 26, to have suffered these things, and to what? And to what? And now the word enter is the word esekomai. That means he was coming into it. That means he wasn't in his death with that glory. The word glory is the word doxa, where you have wealth, riches, power, authority. It depends on the context. So, he says he entered into his glory. Now, yesterday, if you remember, we made a valid distinction between the resurrection of Christ and his ascension. I'm going to remember that. I spent quality time to explain the difference to you. In his resurrection, he's physically seen. All right? Come on. In his resurrection, he is physically seen. You see him, you touch him, the earth with him. And so that physical resurrection was critical, because that's the proof of him being alive. And so the apostles were the eyewitnesses of that. Luke 24:48, Acts 1:8. Remember the scriptures? Acts 2 verse 32. Acts 3 verse 15. Acts 4:33. Acts 5:32. Acts 10:42. 41 and 42. They were eyewitnesses. 2 Peter 1, 16 and 17. Eyewitnesses of His Majesty. That's not our own obligation. That's their obligation. Eyewitnesses. And it was vital to the facts of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 5. He was seen of Peter and then the 12. Then the other apostles, at 400, at once, or some are asleep at this present point. He was seen of James, and then the other apostles, and finally was seen of me as one born out of a due time, for I am not meet to be least to be called an apostle. Paul, verse 9, 8 and 9, but I have labored more abundantly. You have to put that, in case you want to say something about that. I have labored more abundantly. Paul. So, that's the eyewitness. But Jesus said in John 14, He says, a little while you will see me and you will see me no more. Then He said, I go to prepare a place for you, which is the word eitomazo, different from an external work. We said that's what? An internal work. He said, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and I am in you, and you are in me. That is not the resurrection. Are you there? That is a result of the resurrection, but that is not the resurrection. And we said yesterday, that is the ascension. You don't get glorified for being raised from the dead. Are you still there? How can you say Jesus entered into His glory because He was raised from the dead? Lazarus was raised. Jairus' daughter raised. No glory. So the glory had to do with God, what God had planned before the foundation of the world. So the glory of Christ, pay attention, is the church. It's not that He was raised from the dead. Okay? The glory, that glory He referred to in John 17, remember? Verse 4 and 5, we studied that before. And then you get to verse 20, 21, 22, that we may be one as you and I are one. That is not His physical resurrection. That is what? His ascension. And we say ascension, pay attention, will mean, which happened, He dwells with, John 14:17, and shall be where? In. That's the ascension. That's what we said yesterday, the right hand of the Father, where you have the word yamin. Hold on. So, Jesus, talking about, is being lifted high or raised to the right hand of the Father. That's not His resurrection. That happened at His resurrection. But if you force the resurrection, then that did not happen. Let me see if you get it now. If you force the resurrection, then the ascension couldn't have happened. Okay, so that's the ascension. The ascension is that indwelling. So, He calls it the human soul. Paul says, being by the right hand of God, the Father, right of God exalted, we have received from the Father that which you see and you hear. Acts 2:33. Being by the right hand of God exalted,
And if you look up and say, where is the right hand of God exalted? Then you miss it. That's His glory. That's the indwelling. Because He says, at that day, what you will realize is I am where? Remember, I told them after that I am the vine, you are what? And you're going to dwell where? In me. That is the essential. I'll receive you to myself, and where I am, there you'll be also. Now, when he saw them in the 40 days, they were not in the same place. Right? But that is physically, but they were in the same place in reality. Because at the new birth, you indwell the Christ. Christ in you. You are in Christ. That is what happens at the ascension. You following this? Okay. So, and that's the essence of John 14, verse 2 to 20. John 14, verse 2 to 20. And they say, well, which way are you talking about? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. And they say, can you just show us the Father? He said, he that has, if you've been with me so long, you must know the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Oh God. He says, well, the works you see me do is the Father that dwells in me that doeth those same works. Oh, if you don't believe me for ever's sake, believe me for the very work's sake that I do. He that believes on me, the work that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this, because I go to my Father. And we said that going to the Father is not a departure, it's what? An arrival. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father be glorified in the Son. Alright? Alright? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. So you should ask. Ask. Ask in my name. Ask. Now we say, in my name, ask in the right hand. Ask in what I will have accomplished. Alright? Say, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's verse 15. And it just says, what's my commandment? Believe. Now ask the Father. If you believe, praise God. Praise God. If you believe, I'll pray to Father. And He will give another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot see, because it sees Him not. Do you know Him? For He dwells with you and shall be in you. That's the ascension. That day you will know. Verse 23 said, I and my Father will come, will make our abode with you. That is the right hand of the Father. Let me see if you're following this well. Good. So always understand the language. So in Psalm 110, verse 1, I believe sometimes in this series we will deconstruct John 14 a bit more. There's something there that I've been leaving hanging for years, and I will talk about it. Alright? Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, okay, that's the word Yahweh. Adonai. Now, if you were in the court where David prophesied this, you will be bemused. And when a king starts to say, Yahweh said to my Adonai, and then you look around and say, Adonai? This is the strongest king in the world, at least to us. And he's prophesying. Yahweh, which is the Hebrew name for God. Now, don't go to the argument whether it's V or V. It has no vowels. And it's good enough for you to pronounce it, Yahweh. Yahweh said to my Adonai, which is my master, from where you have the word today, Kurios, Lord. Yahweh is where you have the word God, Theo. Okay? And it says, says to my master. He says, seat at my right hand. The word seat is the word yeshab. It means to dwell. It's the Greek The great transliteration of the word Yeshab is the word Meno, dwell. That's where you have the word many mansions. So, pay attention here now. The right hand will have to do with individuals. Just like salvation. Pay attention here. You don't lose yourself. It says, sit, yamin, yashab. Oh, sorry, yashab, yamin, sorry. Which is, remain, meno. And when you use yashab, the tense in the Hebrew means continue to. And so, just like the word forever. Continue to be, okay? Then it says, yamin, at the right. So, by giving an instruction, continue to, that means an event is intended. If you have said, you are, no. Sit, an instruction, an event. So, he says, remain, dwell, at what? At the Yeshua, right, yamin, so the right hand. The word hand is actually inferred, I think. At my right. Or at my power. Or at my, now, we say the word right hand, which is the word hand is inferred, but let's say right or right hand, has to do with your authority, your power, the deliverance power, the salvation. So in my salvation, you will remain with the saved. God is in saving things or animals. The right or the right hand, the yamin, is for man. So if I say, let me do an illustration for you. You know why I did this in church? You come. Bishop. You don't know you're a bishop yet. I'm exposing your ministry. Stand here. Now. Okay? You come. This is, so I'm Yahweh for this purpose. Like it? Yahweh in jeans. So I say, this is, okay. Who should say who? Because you come like this. His haircut shows you need salvation. Right? So he says like this. So Yahweh says to Adonai, my Lord, remain, that is, remain at my right hand. Now, what's the right hand for? Right hand is for salvation, to save men. So I say, remain. That's what? A permanent dwelling with the saved. Is it clear? If the yamin is the ham of salvation. So if I say, remain at the location of the right will be where the salvation takes place. So where is the salvation takes place? Where does the salvation take place? It takes place with you. So Psalm 110 verse 1 means that Jesus will rule in the heart of the faith. Does it make sense to you now? You have your seat. Remain. Because the word Adonai is used for men more. And that speaks of the lordship of Christ. So it shows that how can he remain? So if he had said, Jehovah said to Adonai, save. But by using Yashab in that tense, it implies a being that will be permanent. So the Jews were confused. Adonai should be used for a man, but by saying Yashab. And they know that the throne will be a throne that is forever. So they are looking at, that's the Christ. But is the Christ God or is he a man? Is he David's son? If he's David's son, how can he remain? So they lost it. And the same way, when Jesus rose from the dead, his disciples felt, when will you restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said, what are you guys talking about? We are talking the indwelling, using like eyewitness. So in Matthew 22, who's following this? Come on. In Matthew 22, they asked Jesus the same question. Everybody's confused. And they said in verse 14, He asked him the golden question. He says, hey guys, after letting them taunt him for years, he now threw the last joker. Say, hey guys, what think you of Christ? Whose son is? I believe. And then now you can refute this, is your choice. But I believe that Jesus asked this question. He wasn't sarcastic. No doubt. If it were to be me, I would say I was sarcastic. But I believe he asked it because he had seen what they knew and what they didn't know. The one you have heard somebody, you have heard it finish. He said, okay, come. The Christ. Whose son is he? Notice he did not ask them individually. It was when all of them were gathered together. What a way to put a disclaimer on their entire ministries. He waited for their ministers' conference. He now said, look, whose son is he? And he said, of David. Then he says, how then does David in spirit call him Kurios, Adonai? Saying, the Adonai, the Kurios said unto, the Yahweh said unto my Adonai, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? Everybody's lost. So, the right hand or the ascension is an indwelling. And so, the glory of Christ is the family of God. Hebrews 2:10. He has brought many sons into this glory. Many sons. Without the sons, there is no glory. The glory is, the sinner is now a son. That is the glory of the right hand of the Father. Is it clear? So, look at how the Greek puts Psalm 110 verse 1. Which we're going to see quoted. Go to Hebrews 1, 13. To which of the angels, I think we saw that yesterday. Jesus and the prophet, remember? Jesus and the words of the prophet. Make sure you make that correction. That's Hebrews 1, 1. Jesus and the angels. He calls them servants. He calls him a son. Okay. More excellent. Remember that? More excellent. Can you remember that yesterday? Can you remember? Come on. So Hebrews chapter 1, 13. To which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, which is the word Yashab. The New Testament Greek will call it Kathemai. K-A-T-E-M-A-I. Now I told you it's similar to the word Meno. But the Greek actually uses another term here, kathemai, which means to dwell or reside. Now you see this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. It has many meanings anyway, but this is one of the meanings, and this is close to the Hebrew, Matthew 4, 16. The people which sat in darkness, saw great light. And to them that sat in the region of shadow of death, light is sprung up. I know you don't think he's saying that they sat on a chair. Those who dwell in darkness, who resided in darkness. And so when he says, sit at my right hand, it means dwell there. So, Yashab, Kathemai, Mone, or Meno are saying the same thing. And this is about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Go to Hebrews 2. So, Do you now know the distinction between the resurrection and the ascension? Huh? Is it clear? In the ascension, he shed his blood. And we said, what did he do with his blood? He cleansed our hearts. Because that's where the Father dwells. Not that he took blood to go and wash the dirty heaven. He's a spiritual lover. No, no, no. Our hearts is the eternal resting place of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I say, are we saying that there will be no place called heaven where we will be? You already know this earth will stop to exist. Whatever remains of the church without this earth is heaven. That's simple to understand. The church without the earth is heaven. That's just simple enough. Huh? I know a picture of heaven remains on an island. Manhattan, New York. I don't know many expensive places. You know, I'm a bush boy. I'm an Ijebu prince. At least I'm a prince. Alright, so I don't know. But, you say, where's the heaven? Say, oh, streets of gold. John saw a vision. He became our selfie. A vision has become our selfie. How can you see a vision with so many animals? And then you think it's literal. Streets of gold. Oh, I saw him jumping up the streets of gold. Streets of gold? What will be the streets for? For cars. See your mind. The streets of gold. See. What else? What else? There's also water in case you are thirsty. I'm not telling you, you will never thirst. They get to heaven, then you develop heavenly thirst. So always don't make the image with literal, alright? So let's go. Hebrews 2 and 10. For it became him for whom are all things, about him about whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory. The word we said yesterday is the word ago. To make the captain of their salvation, kagos, perfect through sufferings. For both he, come on, that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, praise God, for which cause is not ashamed to what? So in the ascension, the right hand, we have the word Adelphos, brethren. That's identification. So he says he's not ashamed. You know that word? Epai shu nomai. Epai shu nomai. Is not ashamed to call them brethren. I want to press this in further, because I want to press something in now. Epai shu nomai. Remember the word onoma is the word name. Remember? Okay. So by using the word epashunomai, it brings in the word onoma in the middle of that compound word. That is not ashamed to name them. Okay? It's not ashamed to identify. That's what he's saying. So it's not ashamed to call them brethren. Identify. So that means in the name of Jesus, we have the believer's identification. So the right hand is a place of identification. You have that word in Hebrews 11:16, where God is not ashamed to be called their God. That he's, they're not the ones that call God God. God is the one who called them his people. Is that clear? So, just like there are so many people today who say they are not righteous, they are not holy, but Jesus calls them that. He's not ashamed to call them that. They are only ashamed to call them who they are. They are not ashamed, they are fearful. But Jesus is not ashamed, that is, he names us without shame. He names us without shame. He said, I will declare your name, and that word is the word apagello. A-P-A-G-G-G-E-L-O-O. L-L-O. APAGGELLO. It means I will report, I will report, I will say, I'll declare. So this is the gospel. In the gospel, it is a, there's a declaration of the name of Jesus with every believer. That's why it's so funny that people think that the book of life is something printed in the spiritual publishing house of heaven. And then you open it. What's your name again? So I'm John Francis. Which country? Nigeria. Nigeria? Which state? Well, my father said I'm from Lagos. But they say my great grandfather came from Oyo State. Be very quick. No, there's a queue here, man. You know. You know, and some of you change your name. Change your names. The name they knew you in primary school, remember, secondary school, from university, in your office, in church. And when you get married, your wife gives you a pet name. And your kids call you another name. And stuff like that. You know? And you know, you also get in the work of the ministry, call you apostle or bishop. So at the end of the day, what's your name? You find that every believer has the same name. Some will say, I am Kule Christ. You are actually very, very ignorant. I'm Kule Christ. I even know some folks in one church in Lagos that bear the name of the pastor. I don't want to mention. Well, you should know that. So there's something in the name. They bear the name of the pastor. So, the ascension is for identification when we have the church. So what you will see in the ascension is the church. Is that clear? Is that clear? Is that clear? The ascension is identification. Romans 6. You must always pick out the facts of the identification every time you read about the resurrection. Romans 6. It's in the ascension, you must always see the believer in Christ. In the resurrection, our body will be like his. Is that clear? But in the ascension, we are the same. Right? Romans 6 and 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Identification. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, you also, as living stones, that's the ascension. Ephesians 2:5. Let's go there. You, as he quickened, Ephesians 2:5. Even when we're dead in sins. Alright? When we're dead in sins, spiritual? Is that spiritual? Is that spiritual? Okay. Have quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. He uses the word here. Suzopoio. I'll spell it for you. S-U-Z-O-O. Zoo. S-U-Z-O-O-P-O-I-E-O. Oh, sorry. P-O-I-O-E-O. I'll say it again. S-U-Z-O-O-P-O-I-O-E-O. Now this is repeated in Colossians 2:13. There you find in verse 6. It says, he raised us up together. So we have the word together mentioned three times. Raised up together. Or quickened together. Raised together. And made to sit together. So three things. Sit together. Quicken together. Raise together. So, listen carefully to this. 6a explains 5b. The quicken together and the raise together are the same. Suzopoio, Colossians 2:13. And verse 6, it says, Sunegario, S-U-N. E-G-E-I-R-O. That's raised together. Raised up together. Okay? Then you have sukathizo. S-U-G. K-A-T-H-I-Z. Remember kathemai, which we used earlier, Psalm 110 verse 1, where you have to sit. So it says sit together.
So Sukhizo, S-U-G-K-T-H-I-Z-O. Now, in all of that, Colossians 2:12 has the same thing, and then Colossians 3:1, that is for race together. It says you are raised together with Christ. Raised together. Then it now says you are made to sit together. To sit together. So Sukhizo. And the key word there is the word son. S-U-N or S-U-M. It means in the same breath. That is, in the same breath, whatever happened to Jesus, happened to you. That's what he's saying. It's not, it happened to Jesus so that it will happen to you. Son is together. And that's identification. That's the ascension. And that can only happen is either you are in him or he is where? In you. You are in him or he is in you. So this is the ascension. And he throws the word in there. He says in the heavenly. Of course the word places is applied. If I were to add the word place, it's not bad. I won't have it in plural. I'll have it heavenly place. The word heavenly is the word epouranios. E-P-O-U-R-A-N-I-O-S. E-P-O-U-R-A-N-I-O-S. It refers to a sphere. A non-earthly sphere. A non-earthly sphere. That is a non-natural world. That doesn't mean a distance from you. Because already, pay attention, if you mention the word spirit, that is already an heavenly being. So when you say in the heavenly places, obviously what it's referring to is in your spirit. So it's a realm. I remember someone asked a fellow not to come to our meetings again late 1995. Because I said that the believer is the realm of the spirit. That was so mild. How can he say that? That I believe you, realm of the spirit, you. You know? And you are realm of the flesh. So this is the glory of God. Come on. This is the glory Jesus entered in. So Jesus didn't enter into one glory in a palace in your hometown. He entered in us, and that is the glory of God. Hallelujah. And we said that's the name of Jesus. That is his accomplishment. We said the name of Jesus, we refer to his redemptive sacrifice. We refer to his forgiveness of sins, Luke 24:47. When we say the name of Jesus, we refer to the shed blood. Because the word name refers, must be used specifically. This is the glory of God. So the name refers to his finished work or his work, what he has done. So when Jesus rose from the dead and resides in a man, is that the name? Okay, good. Which we call the prototokos, remember that? Remember that? The firstborn among many brethren, firstborn from the dead, firstborn of God's creature. Colossians 1:15, Colossians 1:18. Hebrews 1:5. He brought the first begotten into the world. This day have I begotten you, Hebrews 5:5, Acts 13:33, Psalm 2:7. Now, that's the name. I would say yesterday, him having a more excellent name, that's it, right? He's a son, they are servants, remember? Can you remember that? He's a son, they are servants. So he got that by inheritance, the portion that was given to him upon his resurrection. Now look at this. So, the indwelling of the Spirit is the name. So, when I say, in the name of Jesus, I'm saying, because the Spirit of God
lives in me. It's not an incantation. You are going out in the morning. I had a friend. He's still my friend. I believe so. He'll wake up in the morning. He'll take a bottle of oil. And he doesn't wake up early. Would all have gone out to pray, then he'll wake up. A 56 cedar oil UI. He'll wake up in the morning, talking from 23 years ago. He'll wake up in the morning, then he put it in it. Joy. Get another coin. Today. Anybody you see, they'll pay for you. Paper. He put it on there. Then he said, potatoes. I know the tongue very well. Potatoes. Then he'll sleep back. So my friend, we used to call him Bishop. We want to get the Greek dictionary. We found out that the word potatos means, what manner of man am I? We were rascals in those days. So we said, he's talking the truth. Some guys think it's an incantation. I declare. Say, confess the word of God 20 times. Say it 20 times. Call the name of Jesus 5 times. Name of Jesus. You are practicing ATR, African traditional religion. ATR. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Call the name of Jesus 5 times. Name of Jesus. 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 Aren't you looking ridiculous? Name of Jesus, love Jesus, love Jesus. Now, let's assume you are even talking to God. How would you find if your children come to your door, daddy, papa daddy, great daddy, mighty daddy. Would you feel embarrassed? What we have done is actually to import our beliefs of a God, a deity, a man-made God, into our picture of Christ. Hallelujah. When we say in the name of Jesus, we are referring to what he has done in us. So saying it 20 times doesn't make it more powerful than the first one you said. You can say it so that your mind will understand it. Say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm born again. I am God's right. Alright, that's the thing. You can do that. But that's not this. It's not the way you call a person's name. We already know now that the name of Jesus is not J-E-S-U-S. I hope that's clear enough now. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. Hold on. When you said my Savior, my Redeemer, that's the name. What you just said, my Savior, my Redeemer. That is what you accomplished in your resurrection. What you accomplished in your ascension, that is your name. You are the Lord, that is your name. You will never share your glory with any man. You will never share your glory. It depends on what glory you are talking about. Because he gave us his family name. And that's the truth. Alright. But you see, we can't be him. If you are going to be him, then you are not you. Is him because he's our father. And we are his son. We can't have more than one father for the same son. The son cannot be the father of the son. That looks crazy compilation of words. Anyway, so how did I get here? So the indwelling of the Spirit, Ezekiel's prophecy, Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, will be the fact of this ascension. He is dwelling in us. Praise God. And that's why you will never find out that what we call the rapture is not Jesus coming. to the church. It's always a wrong teaching. It is appearing when he is glorified in the saints. That's what Paul calls it. It is appearance through the church. The manifestation of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Look at 1 John 3. Let me just rub that in your face a bit. Just something to see. Learn something? 1 John 3. Look at verse 2. Okay, let's see verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth not us, or knoweth not, because it knew him not. Now, of course, he's talking about his identification. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Watch this. It does not yet appear what we shall be. The word appear means it has not shown physically fully what we shall be, because our bodies do not reflect who we are. That's what he's saying. Are you getting that? Mm-hmm. But we know that, pay attention, that is by the gospel, by identification, we know that when he shall what? Appear. Look at that. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's a physical appearance, right? Come on now, follow this. And every man that has this hope in him, in Christ, Christ himself purifies. That's what himself. Not that you believe. Christ himself purifies. This is the word episo. Because faith in the gospel is hope in the resurrection. Faith in the gospel is hope in the resurrection. Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, 18 and 19, 19 precisely, said if only in this life we have hope, we have all men miserable. He was calling our faith in the gospel, which he said is vain, if Christ is not raised from the dead, in verse 14 and 17. He says, if only in this life we have hope. So hope, faith in the gospel is hope for the resurrection of the body. So he says, if only in this world we have hope, we have all men miserable. So he's saying here that he that has this hope, okay, he that has this hope, that is not saying a future hope. He that has this hope in the sense of if you have faith in the gospel, you have this hope. He says he in Christ, okay, because he has said we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So we already know that. So he says, every man that has this hope in him, that's the resurrection, in Christ, himself purifies, don't mind the word purifies himself, Christ himself is what otos, that is an emphasis on the earlier used pronoun. Himself, himself purifies, even as he, Christ, is pure. So Christ has purified us as he is pure. But our appearance is not yet purified. You understand that? And when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Okay? Let me just leave you at that. So, go back. So, John 14, verse 12. Learn something? You learn something? Alright. John 14, 12. He that believes in me, incarnation or resurrection? Huh? Resurrection. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this, because I go unto my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Where will he be to do it? In us. That the Father, I say, he that believes in the works I do shall he do. How can you say, shall he do? They say, I will do it. That's what? An onoma. You following that? An identification. In 12, he said, you will do. In 13, he said, I will do it. And he's talking about the same thing. So that's what? We're going to be in the same place. So what you do is what he does through you. Let me see if you understand that. Come on. That's the name. That's the name. So the name there is the indwelling of the Spirit. John 14, 20. That day you will know I'm in my Father, you and me, and I'm you. Is that clear? So the name of Jesus is the indwelling. Is that right? Okay. Matthew 28, 18. All authority is given me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in my name. That's more accurate. Because the pronoun is given to me. Verse 18. Then he says, teaching them to observe the things I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you. Always, till the end of the age. How can someone say, I go to my father? They say, I am with you. You should know that the going to my father is an arrival. It's not a going, it's a coming. I am with you always till the end of the age. Luke 24:47. So, he says, whatever we do in the preaching of the gospel is in whose name? Is in his name, right? Luke 24:47. Therefore, thus repentance and remission of sins will be done, or will be preached, pardon me, in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Is that the same thing we read earlier now? Matthew 28? Is it the same thing? Luke 24:47, Matthew 28:18-20, is it the same thing? Very last word, okay? Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You say, believe in my name, or believe, then in my name they shall. Note, it's believe in my name. What have done? Because we just said now that when he mentioned my name upon his resurrection, he's talking about the finished work, what he just accomplished. So every time he mentioned name, you see, we are the ones that use the word name today for your surname. They understood name as a functional thing. It's functional. It's not positional. It's functional. What does he do? That's his name. What has he done? That's his name. If you have listened to the series on the name of Jesus, the one we did some 8 years ago, I think, or 7 years ago, I did tell you that a name is gotten by inheritance, by birth, or by exploits. I got that from E.W. Kenyon, actually. And we saw that when you say the name, you are talking about an activity. So, again, we go back to our basic principle of reading the scriptures. Do not generalize. Clear? Don't generalize. So when you hear name, you must look for an activity, right? Come on. Are you there? You must look for what? An activity. So the name in Luke 10:17 is the fact that he gave them authority to cast out devils. In Luke 9:49, the same. But the name upon his resurrection will be the ascension. Do you understand? Do you understand? That's the ascension, which is the indwelling. It has to do with what Jesus did. So when we mention the name of Jesus, upon his death, we're going to now refer to what did he accomplish. Was he born? Yep, he was born again. In the sense of he was raised from the dead. That's the name. Did he inherit anything of the Father? He was given a name. Yes, he did. Did he accomplish something? Yes, another name. The name, again. So the name is in his resurrection. He's born again. Psalm 2 verse 7. The firstborn from the dead. Colossians 1:15-18. So, the name. from the inheritance. Did he have a portion? Yep, they had prophesied about him. So he inherited that name. Hebrews 1, 3 and 4. Did he accomplish something? We can call him a war general, a victor, and a captain. Yes, the name. I taught this extensively in the first series on the name of Jesus. So this is taking a different path on the same issue. Now look at this. So, he says, you now believe in the name. Believe. When you believe in the name, you shall cast out devils. He's not saying you'll be mentioning the name. When you believe the name, you speak with tongues. When you believe the name, you take any devil that's going to hurt you. When you believe in the name, you take up serpents. When you believe in the name, you lay hands on the sick. So the name there can be substituted for the gospel. So the name of Jesus is also a message. The name of Jesus is a message. A message. The gospel that we preach. Look at John 20, 31. You learning something? Verse 31. But these were written, John 20, 31, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have what? Life? Through mentioning his name or through his work? Huh? Through his work. Now, is that work the message? So, the name of Jesus is the gospel. The name of Jesus is the gospel. Look at Romans 1. So, if I can say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I can say, because Jesus rose from the dead, be healed. I can say, because I am dwelling in Christ, be healed. Because Christ lives in me, be healed. I don't have to say, Jesus, Jesus. Praise God. You get it? Because the name refers to, it's a functional truth. What he has done and where he is. Watch this. Romans 1, verse 2. You learning something? You learning something? Romans 1, 2. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which is in the Old Testament, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The word promised afore, there is the word proepagelo. Pro is before. Epagelo is to tell a story. Proepagelo. That means the story was told before it happened. Now when I have epagelo, it means, or apagelo, sorry, I'm telling you something that has happened. That's the gospel we preach today is an apagelo. Or an agelo. Or, what's the other word? Keruzo. But if something is going to happen, and I tell you ahead of time, that's pro-apagelo. So the prophecies of the Old Testament folks was a pro-news. A pro-news. Imagine saying something that hasn't happened, and then they're already rejoicing. So himself took our infirmities, and it was yet to come. And I said, woo! Though it's a pro-apagelo. He bore our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Woo! And he has not yet come. That's a pro-apagelo. Who's following what I'm saying here? Okay. So, he calls it, preached before, concerning his son, Perihoios, Jesus Christ, that is focusing on Jesus. So it's not everything that they said in the Old Testament that is gospel. There's some things that are very horrible. Alright? So when you take your Bible, explain the horrible, but believe the gospel. Okay? You have a duty to explain the horrible, not believe the horrible. Okay? They say it never happened. It happened. Okay? Explain the horrible. Explain the ignorance. All the things Moses said that he just said. All the things that Isaiah said, I'm he that killeth and maketh alive. They say, it's not in the Bible, it's there. explain it. But don't believe that. What you ought to believe is the pro-apagelo. Is that very clear? That one is the gospel of God. Okay? So follow this now. Verse 4. And declared, the word orizo, declared, which is to mark someone out of others. So Jesus is marked out of all the prophets by his resurrection. Declared the Son of God with power. He's not declared to be. No. He was proven as marked out the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Look at verse 5. Let's take verse 5 together. Let's go. By whom we have received what? Grace. Hold on now. In his resurrection, we have received charis. We have received grace, which is an apostleship. The word apostleship there is the word apostole. Oh, this is beautiful. A-P-O-S-T-L-E. Apostole. Grace and apostleship. Now, when you say apostleship, not of course the word apostolos is apostle. But when you say apostole, apostole, it is the work of an apostle. So, come and look at the work of an apostle now. Not giving our cars to musicians. We've always thought an apostle is one who plants churches. That's not true. He does plant churches. So I had 8 churches under me. I'm a general overseer, so I'm an apostle. Yeah, of your church. You're right. But then, this is the work of an apostle. You find that word in Acts 1:25, 1 Corinthians 9:2. And then look at Galatians 2:8. I want us to open that one. Apostolate. Galatians 2:8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the work of an apostle of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Hear me. He's not talking about message. He's talking about what? Work. If you are in your office, and then they say, maybe in your office you produce ice cream. And then we say, you will take the ice cream to Mushin, and then you take the ice cream to Ikeja, and then you take the ice cream, you go to Ikeja, and you say, do you like the ice cream? What kind of ice cream do you want? Because I'm thinking this ice cream is not the kind that I should give you. No, it's the same. The work may differ because the people differ. But the message is the same. Paul didn't preach something else that Peter preached. Jesus gave the gospel to every creature. I mean, it's the same gospel. Mark 16:15. The same gospel. Teaching them to observe the things I've commanded you to all nations, the same gospel. But when you get to different nations, the work differs, not the message. I hope that's clear. That example of ice cream was so ridiculous because I was supposed to say against Chelsea, but I didn't get. Okay now, so the work of an apostle refers to the task. Okay, so Romans 1 again. He says, grace and apostleship work for the obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. That is, for what he has done. What has he done? He was raised from the dead. The pro-apagelo. So the name, therefore, will be the authority of the gospel. So when you hear, go into all the world, he that believes. Pay attention. This sign in my name. Obviously, whatever he said in Mark 16:15-18 is in the course of the gospel. The guy was telling me, I don't see those supernatural signs. Do you go for evangelism? No. No. You will see zodiac signs. Zodiac signs. No zodiac signs. Taurus. Is that not it? It's not science. Not just science. It's integrated science. That's why verse 20 of Mark 16 say they all went forth everywhere and they preached the word. Everywhere. And God working and confirming the word with what? So, is the word the name? Is the word the name?
Yep.
So the word is the name. So therefore, the name of Jesus is for the advancement of his work. The gospel. What speaks about his work. So how would you say, in the name of Jesus, every enemy that is coming against me should die. Just know that that is not Jesus that rose from the dead. That Jesus must be from your hometown. The name is the gospel. If you can't say, in the gospel of Christ, I command you to die. Because Jesus rose from the dead and gave us forgiveness of sins, I command you to lose your eyesight. It doesn't work like that. Because Jesus is the propitiation for sins for the old one, I command you go deaf now. It doesn't work like that. So, the Jesus you mentioned, but you guys, is not the name of Jesus. It's somebody else you have believed. I don't know him, I've never met him, and I won't. But some have met that Jesus that kills people. That you put people's name on his name and they die. But if it's the finished work, the Mark 16, 15, Matthew 18, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, alright? And that is the life giver. That's the life giver. Alright? This sign shall follow. You cast out demons, take up serpents, they won't hurt you. You speak with new tongues. You heal the sick. You say, in my name, you will show them Pepe. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. So that's the advancement of what he has done. So the name of Jesus, therefore, will be the gospel. And therefore, it's the message that we preach. So if I stand here now and I'm talking about how Jesus gave us eternal life, how he died, how there's forgiveness of sins because he died, what am I preaching about? The name. That's the name. Do I have to mention J-E-S-U-S? You have to shout and do the incantation. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We've even used it to cut cakes. After the count of Jesus. J. E. S. That's why you don't know anything. You can never know anything. Jesus! Woo! To open football game. After J-E-S-U-S, within churches. J-E-S-U-S, Jesus! Too bad. In 1 Corinthians 5:5, Paul says, when you come together, right? Notice that. When you come together, verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, that is Christ within you, because of the finished work, the gospel, for the sake of the gospel, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is for the message, for his cause. So the name of Jesus will be the cause of Christ. Right? Talk to me now. Does the name of Jesus also speak of the cause of Christ? No, sorry. The cause is not C-U-R-S-E. It's C-A-U-S-E. So the name of Jesus is the cause of Christ. Praise the Lord. So the gospel is his name. So we suffer for his name. We suffer because of our claims. You know the gospel is our claim. We claim he died. We claim he died for sins. We claim he was buried for sins. We claim he rose from the dead for sins. We claim he rose for humanity. We claim that. We claim he's all good and he's done no evil before. He's our claim. And therefore, because of those claims, sometimes we suffer for it. Hallelujah. We suffer for His name. So suffering for His name is suffering for the gospel. It's not because you put a sticker on your car. No. Acts 2:21. Watch this. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter is quoting from Joel's prophecy. Then Peter stretches the explanation. Then he tells you what the name is. Verse 23. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received all the power upon the Holy Ghost, he has set forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended to the heavens, but he said to himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified. But what? So that's the name. What he has become in his resurrection. So as those folks were preaching the gospel, they were preaching the name. So here they are, Acts 3:6. Peter and John met the fellow who was crippled. And he said, silver and gold have I none. Glory to God. But such as we have, such as I have, I give unto you because of what Jesus Christ has done. Is that clear? Rise up and walk. Because Jesus Christ dwells in me, rise up and walk. Because I am in Him, rise up and walk. Because the healing power is in this family, rise up and walk. Are we saying the same thing? Very good. So they began to ask him, hey, what's going on? So he tells them, watch this. In verse 16, and in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. What do you mean by his name? Verse 15, you guys killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead. Is that the name whereof we are witnesses? So he said, because he was raised from the dead, faith in this has made this man strong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here they are. And suddenly, they started to harass them. They hear Peter. Verse 10, chapter 4. Be known unto you all. You know, E.W. Kenyon, he said something years back. I was studying his book, The Name of Wonderful Name of Jesus, and then Bible Wrath of Our Redemption, 1994. He said something that amazed me. He said, there are three personalities in the book of Acts. Kenyon was such a scholar. He said, the name, the word, and the spirit. I said, how did he figure that out? Hallelujah. Now some guys, they got a hold of the word of God so well. As I find out, the name took the form of a human being. Like, when you say the name, you are referring to something. Something alive. Hallelujah. The Spirit, the Word. And I found it to be true. Look at this. He says, through faith in chapter 4 verse 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he's not talking about Megan and J.E.S.U.S., whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. So which one is his name? The crucifixion or the resurrection? Very good. By him does this man stand here before you. Oh, hallelujah. So it says in verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name here is the message, right? Come on! Are you there? There's no other message. And so these guys were cross with him. So in verse 17, look at verse 17. Look at verse 16. What shall we do? They were talking to themselves. To this man. For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them. His manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. Hallelujah. This is happening in your ministry. It's happening in your ministry. It's happening in your ministry. It won't be denied. We can't deny it. How can you deny that the man was blind, he can see? How can you deny it? They said, okay, you know what we're going to do. But that it spreads no further among the people. Look at it. That it spreads no further. Let us strictly threaten them that they speak forth to no man in what? What are they talking about? That Jesus Christ is alive in this message.
And he called them and commanded them not to speak at all. Now what? Teach in the name of Jesus. That is, teach the gospel. Teach that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So the name is now an event. Hallelujah. Are you there? Look at what Peter and John said. Whether I be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God. Verse 20. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So the name is what they have seen and what they had heard. Are you there? Come on, are you there? So they threatened them and let them go. They let them go. In verse 30 and 31. And when they were praying, look at their prayer. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders might be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus, that by his resurrection. In chapter 5, look at this, verse 28. After they had seen miracles again and Peter was set free from prison. In verse 27, they now brought them before the council, saying, look at 28, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? That is, don't tell anybody the man is alive. Hallelujah. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with what? Your teaching. So the name of Jesus is a message. Are you there? And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So the gospel is the name of Jesus. Every time you are preaching the gospel, you are preaching the name. Every time you are making claims that the gospel makes, you are preaching the name. Praise the Lord. See, look, it's doctrine. The word didache is used in there. D-I-D-A-C-H-E. It means a specific message. And then, Peter told them again. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus as the name. Whom you slew and hung on the tree. Him that God exalted with his right hand to be a priest and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. So is also the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that obey him. Hallelujah. They got cross with them. So they told them in verse 39. Verse 40. To him they agreed. That's when Galileo called them and said, you guys, there's no point. Gamaliel, sorry. When he said there's no point. If these guys are of God, they'll stay. No point fighting them. Then they said in verse 39. So he told them in verse 39, if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Can you imagine? They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. That is, don't tell anybody he's alive. And then let them go. Look at verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council. Let's read it together. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. For his claims. So the name of Jesus are the claims of Christ. He is alive. He is in us. He is alive forevermore. In him is forgiveness of sins. Those are the claims. Verse 42. And daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Christ. Crucified or raised from the dead. And ascended to the right hand of the Father. So they identified with the name. They preached the name. So the name is our message. Hallelujah. It's not a talisman. It's our authority. What Christ has done. What he's doing now. Who he is now. That's why Paul will write later. We'll check this on Sunday. Let him that nameth the name of Christ. He's talking to preachers. Let those who are preaching that Christ is alive. Let those who are preaching that Jesus was raised from the dead, let them depart from this iniquity. What's that iniquity? That the resurrection was past. That is, don't deny what you are preaching. That's the name. The iniquity wasn't morality. The iniquity there was a message. We'll continue.